Support for WPR comes from the Dram Corporation, sustainable producers of OMRI-listed fertilizers for organic gardening and farming. Made in Algoma, Wisconsin. More information is at dramm.com.
Support for WPR comes from Doulaying the Doula, offering birth and postpartum training and certification programs for medical professionals and other interested humans. More information about training is at doulaworkshop.com.
Former Governor Tommy Thompson announced last week he's teaming up with another former governor to build a bipartisan lobby for the Midwest region.
It's called the Midwest Council, and it aims to do a better job of bringing concerns of the upper Midwest to the attention of lawmakers in the nation's capital.
Richard Longworth joins us now. He's a senior fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs and author of Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalism. Richard, welcome to Central Time.
Mike, good afternoon. Glad to be with you.
I'm guessing that the whole idea of the Midwest Council sounds like a good one to you.
It depends what it does. The idea of getting the states together, trying to operate on some sort of regional basis. My feeling is that we lose a lot here in the Midwest because the states are always fighting each other. Wisconsin and Illinois being prime examples. We're always trying to steal businesses from each other. We really don't realize that what's good for one state in the Midwest is probably going to be good for the states that surround it. Governors have a terrible time dealing with this because they're elected to serve people within their states, and so they score points by fighting with the states next door.
I think you have made the case, though, that there are other parts of the country that are much better at negotiating this kind of thing. What's the difference between the Midwest and, say, New England or other places like that?
These places have been doing this for some time. New England has been doing it for nigh on to 90 years now, something called the New England Council. And it lobbies in Washington. What it really tries to do is to organize New England states, the cities, universities, businesses there, to work together across state lines to improve their society. The Southern Growth Policy Board, which is based down in Raleigh-Durham, has been going for about 50 years down there. Again, this is an organization of state governments that work together to try and cooperate across state lines. The Midwest has never had anything like this. We have the Midwest Governors Association, but it has never been able to operate in this sort of cooperative way. As I mentioned, governors have a terrible time doing this, but ex-governors can be very good value. You talk to ex-governors and they realize just how much time they wasted in office fighting with
really?
The state next door. So what you have here is Tommy Thompson and Ben Nelson from Nebraska, both former governors, who are leading this, and this is a pretty good idea because they know what's going on. I'd like to see them get involved with Chet Colver in Iowa, or Jim Edgar here in Illinois, or Mitch Daniels in Indiana, get more ex-governors involved.
So
Even better would be to get the state governments involved, but that doesn't seem to be on for now.
Why do you think that ex-governors are able to look in the rearview mirror and see those things better? Is it because they feel like they have to support their state? Is it that boosterism issue, or what?
Yeah, sure. Governors just love to cut ribbons. And a factory that, say, opens in Rockford, Illinois, that may get most of its employees from Beloit and Janesville, isn't going to result in any photo ops for Scott Walker. Or if the factory opens in Beloit and employs mostly people from Illinois, Pat Quinn isn't going to be invited to the opening. It's a matter of taking credit for what happens on their watch, whereas ex-governors know that there's so much that they have to do with economic development, with environment, with all these other issues, that if we work together and build for the future, this is going to look good for future generations. It doesn't do an awful lot of good for the person who happens to be sitting in the state house right now.
Now again, though, one of the points I think you've made about the Midwest in your writing is that the Midwest is somehow less able to do this than other parts of the country. So maybe this isn't just governors. Could part of this be the fact that in the Midwest there are a number of, you know, sort of big city, you know, sort of like, for example, you live in Chicago. There's Chicago, there's the Twin Cities, there's St. Louis, there's Indianapolis, there's Cincinnati. Do cities play a role possibly in why the Midwest doesn't collaborate as much as some other places like New England, for example, where Boston might be the dominant city?
I think probably more to it is that the Midwest is kind of a fuzzy notion. If you ask somebody to define what the Midwest is, some people say it starts somewhere around the Mississippi River and goes through the Great Plains. Other people will say it's the Great Lakes region, that is, our industrial states, Wisconsin, say, through Ohio. What the Midwest is kind of indefinite. Everybody knows what New England is. You can draw a line around it. Everybody knows what the South is because of its particular history. So they feel there's a Southern identity. There's not a Midwestern identity. Cities, of course, can do an awful lot more. Right now, we have this tri-state alliance going here in which we are trying to put together some sort of a common economic development policy between Milwaukee, Chicago, and Northern Indiana. And the cities that are involved there. This is just getting off the ground, but people are realizing the cities, at least those of us who exist next to each other, really do have to work together.
So you actually think that cities could be the key to moving these things forward then?
No.
No?
I'd like to say that, but I'm not quite sure it's true. Cities tend to dominate their states. Getting Chicago involved in one thing is one thing. Getting Illinois involved is something else. Getting Milwaukee involved is one thing, but getting Wisconsin involved is something else again. There is not always that much identification between these big cities and their states. Quite often the cities have more in common with each other than they do with the states around them. And as I gather it, what Thompson and Nelson have in mind for this Midwest Council is to try and work on a statewide basis, to work with companies that not only in the cities but around the states, to try and do something, I'm hoping, with universities and get them to working together. But right now, from what I can see, I'm not sure whether they plan to do more in just lobbying in Washington, which is a good idea, or whether they are going to actively do what the New England Council and the Southern Growth Policy Board have done, which is really try to promote regional cooperation back home, back here in the Midwest.
And I mean, you know quite a bit about this. I mean, as part of your book, I believe, you spend a lot of time on the ground in all sorts of different places looking at the issues and identifying the issues. And I mean, I think we laid out some of those, you know, sort of the governors not being willing to cooperate. But what are some other challenges that the Midwest has compared to other parts of the country beyond not being able to sort of work together?
One of the problems is that we have relied through almost all of our Midwestern history, really, going back 100, 150 years, on this basis of heavy industry. Wisconsin certainly as much as any other state, but the other Midwestern states too. And we've had our ups and downs, but we always thought, well, it's a little cyclical problem and things are going to come back. We are now realizing that those good old days when heavy industry was the locomotive that pulled the whole region behind it, that's gone forever. It's not going to come back, and it is hard to get used to. We're having to realize that we need new industries, and we're going to have to look regionally.
But isn't that partly true? Because I would say, you know, couldn't you say that, for example, the South, I mean, one of the things that's benefited the South is a lot of factories have moved there because of different labor laws and things like that.
But they started promoting this in the days just after World War II, when they didn't have all this heavy industry, when they weren't getting this sort of Sun Belt influx. They've really worked on that. The New England Council got started back in the 20s when they were losing a lot of their manufacturing industries. These were the ones that first got hit by factories going to the South, a lot of textile, leather working operations going down there. So a lot of this, what has happened in other regions, has been a response to economic adversity. And we're going through a ton of economic adversity right now. And from what I can see, Nelson and Thompson have in mind is trying to bounce back and look for new industries, and more power to them.
We're talking with Richard Longworth about the New Midwest Council, a New Midwest advocacy group co-chaired by former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson.
And we'd like to know your thoughts on this. Do you think the Midwest can and should do a better job of advocating for itself in Washington? And what priorities should the Midwest Council set as it lobbies for the needs of the Midwest? Let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email talk@wpr.org. We're talking with Richard Longworth about the Midwest Council, a new lobbying group hoping to better represent the upper Midwest in Washington, D.C.
What do you think of this idea? What specific Midwestern needs do you believe need to be represented in Washington? How do you think the region can work together, the Midwestern states could work together to better get things done? We'd like to hear what you have to say about this. You can join the conversation with Richard Longworth by calling 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Why don't we go to the phones right away here and go to Christian in Milwaukee. Christian, thanks for joining us today. Christian, you there?
Yes, I am here. Thanks for taking my phone call. First of all, I do listen to the show. I appreciate the opportunity to participate. And my general view, I have family that's from this area, and I've invested in businesses all over the country and the world. And I think that, you know, a lot of people tend to focus on where the jobs have gone and why they're leaving. They may point to China. They may point to the South. But I think a lot of folks are failing to recognize the general overall globalization of the global economy. And let me just give you some basic statistics that I think people are probably not aware of. This is far beyond the whole issue of China and other places where there may be less expensive labor. Given the technology deployment has occurred in really third and fourth world, if there is one, type countries, our research indicates that there are now going to be over 10 billion laborers coming on the market that are making less than a dollar a day right now in the next 10 to 20 years.
Christian, that's an interesting point, and I think Richard Longworth, you've written about the whole issue of globalism and how that affects the Midwest. Could you respond to that a little bit?
Globalization has hit this region really hard with the outsourcing of the jobs. Well, like I said, what we did for a living, which was heavy industry, basically assembly line stuff, that's just really been picked off. So what we need are new industries in bioscience, biotech, nanotechnology, the water, the Great Lakes. If we could get the 8 American states and 2 Canadian provinces, the border of the Great Lakes, to work together to create industries relating to fresh water, much the same way as the Water Council in Milwaukee has done. These are the new industries that we need. Will they take up the slack lost by the jobs that have already gone away? Nobody knows yet, but this is what we have to work on. One way of doing this is to get state governments working together. Another is especially to get our big research universities, exactly like the University of Wisconsin, working together on these issues so they can create the research and create the products that are going to drive our economy in the future. I'd love to see this Midwest Council dealing with this because your caller's absolutely right. Globalization has taken away what we did for a living, and we got to find a new job.
Yeah, we're talking about Midwestern states working together in relationship to the founding of the Midwest Council, which is a new lobbying group to better represent the upper Midwest in Washington, D.C. Richard Longworth is with us. He wrote a book called Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalism. We're going to go back to the phones to Jay in Madison. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Interesting topic. My question is there an opportunity for Midwestern states to get together and do a regional infrastructure bank to fund roads, trains, bridges, and that sort of heavy-duty infrastructure?
Jay, that's an interesting question. Let's see what Richard Longworth has to say. Richard?
I think it's a great idea. We waste a lot of money now, money that most of these states don't have, with duplication. Yes, we could work together with infrastructure banks to create infrastructure. A prime example, and you mentioned it, would be trains, especially high-speed trains. The cities of the Midwest, Mike, which you mentioned earlier, are just far enough apart to be unhandy, to really work together. A really good European or Japanese-style high-speed rail network here in the Midwest is what we need, but this is, by definition, an interstate regional project. You can't just have high-speed within Illinois or high-speed within Wisconsin. We have to link this region together, and that'd be a great place to start.
Are there examples from other parts of the country where that's happened?
In high-speed rail, not much, not in this country. We've gone very slowly on this. They're trying to do some in California. You do have the Acela corridor up from Washington up to Boston, and that gets a lot of ridership. But I think more better examples are countries like Germany or Spain, where you have a lot of big cities that, again, are separated by some distance. These countries, of course, are smaller than the United States. But they are just about the same size as the Midwest, and their cities are about far enough have a similar distance between them. High-speed rail has really brought these countries together and brought their businesses together, and certainly, of course, in the case of Germany, very much stimulated the economy.
We're talking about how Midwestern states can work together better. You can join the conversation still at 800-642-1234. We're going to go to John in Appleton now. John, thanks for joining us today.
I would just add that we don't want to forget about dairy, and one of the major challenges in the Midwest is the pricing structure that the closer you are to Eau Claire, the less you get for your milk. So somebody in California is going to be getting incentivized to raise dairy herds when people in Wisconsin are disincented. So correcting those ancient pricing policies would be something very helpful.
Now, I don't know how that would be aided by working together. I mean, if dairy industry in Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan, say, work more closely together, would that have anything to do with that, or is this a another problem?
John?
No, I think that if the Midwest states that are all basically punished by how close they are to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, would be able to take on the rest of the country and basically get rid of some of these obsolete laws.
Well, now, one thing we should be able to do, there's a lot of laws, a lot of action that we need in Washington. I've always been struck by the fact that there is no Midwest caucus in Washington. There's no Great Lakes caucus, and there's no Midwest caucus. All the senators and all the representatives in this region represent a region that has very common interests. I know the bipartisanship isn't exactly the flavor of the month right now, but these are people who represent a region, no matter what party they are, that need a lot of help working together in a Midwestern caucus on this issue and on others would do us a lot of good.
So why do you think that's the case?
Mike, we're Midwesterners. We're just ornery. You ever been through the consolidation of two country schools, two community schools out in a rural district?
We'll
get together and help our neighbor with barn raising. Short of that, we love to hate our neighbor. We love rivalry. We're independent. We're cussed. We're ornery. And this carries over. It's our nature, and it carries over into our politics and now into our economy in an era where to be small is to get bulldozed. We really have to work together. If the Midwestern Council can do this, fine, but it is going to mean going against our Midwestern grain.
Well, and I mean, I think that's a good point to make, because I think if you did aggregate all of the resources of the Midwest, it would be much larger than these other regions that seem to be doing a better job, right?
Look at our universities. We have more intellectual firepower in this region than almost anywhere else in the world, including the Ivy League. Put it all together and, you know, we would be unbeatable, but the problem is we don't put it together. Our great universities, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, compete as fiercely for faculty and grants and students and donors as our teams do on a Saturday afternoon. And this just doesn't make any sense. We are really all in this together. And the the problems of this region don't stop at the Wisconsin border, and they don't stop at the Illinois border.
Let's pull in one more caller before we wrap things up. Kurt from Beloit, thanks for joining us. It's possible you may sort of reinforce what was just said, but I'd be interested in hearing what you have to say too, Kurt.
Yes, that is what I was going to reinforce. I wondered that, you know, I was thinking about the model of a kind of distributed network where all the way from Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska, down to Indiana University, and combine that with what Silicon Valley did, where you would have even across the street, like what the UIUC, if you just had across the street a company of five or six folks who were working on some of the technologies, the nanotechnologies, biotechnologies, global technologies, the professor was talking about. But one thing that is missing there is a kind of infrastructure, a digital infrastructure, to connect all of those companies so that we really don't need things like high-speed rail.
Good point, Kurt. Thanks for your call. Richard Longworth, you have a quick response to that?
People getting together is still a good idea, but yes, you need the digital capacity. You need the broadband throughout these states to bring them all into this era. You can do this between states. I'd say you could do it between regions. Your caller is from Beloit. You have the Rock River Valley there where you have Beloit and Janesville got their problems. Rockford down in Illinois has got problems. I think there's some people there who are trying to work together, but this means working across state lines. If this organization and the people in the Rock River Valley there can promote this kind of regional cooperation across state lines, it's to the benefit of them all.
Now, you mentioned in some of the more successful examples, the New England Council and in the South as well, that a lot of the creation of these connections were created because of a crisis. Do you feel like there's enough crisis in the Midwest right now to create the makings for more collaboration?
Well, Mike, I'm a big Chicago Cubs fan, so I am very comfortable with the concept of a bad century. And let's face it, our Midwest is now 40 to 50 years in the middle of a bad century, and we're not pulling out of it. The South went through a bad century between the Civil War and the post-war years, and it took some concerted action for them to pull out of it. That's what we face now, and until we get our act together the way they did, our own bad century is going to keep going on.
Well, Richard Longworth, thanks so much for joining us. Richard is a senior fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs and author of Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalism. Thanks again for joining us.